Well, they will have missed Sunday Night Live on Sunday morning. So next week, the choir will be back, and Jeff. But if you enjoyed this morning, come on Sunday nights starting next week. We just started the book of 2 Timothy, going verse by verse in exposition and teaching and just a little bit of preaching every now and then. If you open your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, give me an opportunity to say Merry Christmas the day after and to greet all of the folks that are just joining us on YouTube and also those that are finding us on our website and listening to the audio portion of it. We thank y'all so much for finding us and for worshiping the Lord together with us this morning. Luke chapter 1, verse 46, the Bible says, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." This is the day when the after Christmas letdown usually takes place. All of the friends and relatives have gone, and it's kind of sad. Or all of the friends and relatives have not gone, and it's kind of sad. All of the get-togethers, the activities, all the cards, emails, texts, the messages, all the presents, it comes to an abrupt stop, and it kind of leaves you a little numb, kind of like the shepherds the next day after the angels have gone away. Kind of boring out in the fields now. They kept saying, you know, what do you... You think an angel will come today? No, they just had to go back to work and do what God had called them to do. But in between the time the angels went away and the next day at work, they went and saw Jesus. They went and was introduced to a new life. And so the next day when they did go back, they didn't have to see an angel because they had already seen the Lamb of God. So I'm glad that we have another day in order to worship the Lord and continue worshiping the Lord. So I'd like you to just rest in the Lord this morning, not rest in your bodies and go to sleep. There's a difference between those two rests, but I'd like you to rest in the Lord this morning to enjoy His presence as His word goes out, and just thank Him for the opportunities of service and ministry that we've had this month. And if there was no huge response to that or thank you or gratitude expressed, it doesn't matter in the least, because we did all of those things to the Lord, not to those individuals. And because of our love to the Lord, we did what we did. So the response doesn't matter because we know it was received of the Lord. It was an act of worship and it was an act of charity. Okay? Okay. Just want to make sure. When y'all get nervous, I get nervous. Okay, all right. These past 30 seconds, there has been a technical difficulty that we had to overcome in the back room. So it's been overcome now. Gracie has everything under control. Everything that we did this past month, love y'all back there, doing a great job. Everything that we did this past month was done in order to honor, to glorify, and I want you to get this word, magnify Him. Verse 46, Mary said, "My soul does magnify the Lord." To magnify, that which is unseen can be seen when it's magnified. an object too small to clearly see is enlarged. Think of a telescope or a microscope or even one of those little magnifying glasses. It enables us to see something that is not clearly seen visibly. To magnify a person means that you make him or her larger than yourself. To magnify the Lord means that His life becomes larger than our lives. And it can be, and His life can be seen more clearly by others. To magnify the Lord in our personal lives means that we come closer to Him. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto us, James said in chapter 4. Have you ever noticed how small an object looks from a distance, from far away? But then as you start walking toward it, it gets bigger. No, it really doesn't. It stays the same size. But our perspective of how large it is what changes depending on the distance away from it. So when you're close to an object, you see it at its full size. And when we magnify the Lord to ourselves, we see Him larger than ourselves, larger than other people, and larger than our problems and difficulties and temptations. The avenue to draw closer to the Lord is spending more time with Him in fellowship, in His Word, in prayer, and in worship. When we become aware of God's presence, our perspective changes. We see things more clearly. And then we not only magnify Him and His work to ourselves, but we magnify Him to others as well. That's what we're seeing here in this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 1. This is Mary's reply in praise and worship to Gabriel's announcement of what is about to take place in her life, of what God's will is for her life, or we can say it, what God's vision for her life is. Believers ask the question these days, is Christmas really important? And I understand that. I understand that the Mass of the Christ, Christmas, is a Catholic invention to replace the pagan celebration of the winter solstice and the Jewish festival of lights. I know that. Common sense just tells us that the shepherds would not be keeping their fields, keeping watch over their flocks in the dead of winter. So is it really important? Does the story of the birth of Christ really matter? We do know that it did take place, in fact. But since the Bible is silent as to when in the year it happened, it tells me that the when isn't as important as the why. To the world, it's just merely a holiday to get off a few days from work or another excuse to party. But for Christians, it's a time to magnify the Lord. It's a time that the world can get a closer look at the truth of the gospel. Mary here, beginning at verse 46, forgets herself. And she's kind of like on Sunday Night Live. We sort of forget ourselves. We forget what other people are thinking. And we sort of get caught up in praise and worship as we begin to think about how good God has been to us. She's humbled and grateful that God would choose her to carry the Savior to the world. If you stop and think about it, is that not what we were chosen to do? To carry the Savior to the lost world. To magnify Him to those who cannot see Him. To those who cannot hear these words. They can see and hear us. What an opportunity. And I pray that opportunity goes for the other 11 months as well. Now, here's something you need to carry away with today. In order to magnify the Lord, we have to forget ourselves. When you think about what other people would do or say or talk about you, you're dealing with pride, not humility and humbleness before the Lord. Pride will keep you from serving the Lord. It will keep you from worshiping the Lord. It will keep you from singing. I'll tell you what, if you'll look around at a few folks, I'm not going to call any names, even though one of them has already admitted and confessed. If you'll notice, talent for singing is confined to just a few of us. And we count on those few to carry the rest of us. But it doesn't matter. When you're worried about what someone's going to think about you singing, you're not going to be praising the Lord. Verse 42. Mary's cousin Elizabeth said she spoke out with a loud voice. Now, I know there's some folks here that can identify with Elizabeth. Again, I did not call any names, so you can't get mad at me. But now, if you can speak out with a loud voice to other people, particularly husbands, seems like to me you could speak out with a loud voice in your singing and praising the Lord. You ought to praise the Lord at least as loud as you complain to your husband about him not taking the trash out on Tuesday morning. I always take the trash out when I'm finished with my nap. Love you too, just almost as much as the media. They can pull the plug, you can't. In these verses of Mary's worship and praise, here lies the answer to our question about the importance of recognizing and celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. It's why I believe that we as a church and why other believers should recognize this holiday on the calendars. We have a unique opportunity to magnify the Lord in explaining the gospel in this Christmas story in the Bible and in demonstrating it whenever our families and friends get together. Now, this morning, as we come alongside Mary here in her worship, I pray that we'll be able to see and understand what has become clear to her and be able also to praise and worship the Lord for our salvation in Him along with her. First of all, I want you to notice she heard a message from God. She heard a message from God. Or to put it in terms of our current series, she saw a vision from God's word of His will for her life. Why she was created, why she was saved, why she was born again. She was saved, she was born again for the same reason we are. to fulfill the will of God for our individual lives and in God's overall plan and will. God has a unique will and plan for each of our lives. That's what we've been seeing each Sunday. And He has the ability to communicate what that is to us if we'll be still long enough to listen, if we'll avail ourselves to the time so that He can communicate to us. She heard a message from God. Verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, a spouse to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. Mary was not holy. Mary was not God. Never was God, never will be God. Mary was not the mother of God. She is highly favored by grace. Same as us. Whenever God privileges us to hear His message, that means we're highly favored by His grace. Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed, blessed, blessed art thou among women. This is a word directly from God. This is a message directly from God. She could only hear it one time. We can hear it over and over. I know some folks need to get two or three times before it begins to register. If you just hear it one time, you're going to miss some things. Here you can get every single word. Every single word has meaning and significance. If you don't believe that, come on Sunday night. There's another commercial for Sunday night. It's word by word. Verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, Mary received this vision. Mary received this message, this word from God. Did she understand it? Verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I'm a virgin. How can I bring forth a baby? If you limit God from working in your life only to what you can understand, you're going to have a very, very small perspective of God. He's going to be very, very small in your life. And you are not going to be fulfilled spiritually. Listen to, keep your finger in Luke. Go over to Ephesians chapter 3. Listen to what the Ephesian church heard that we know from Scripture that they heeded. Ephesians 3 verse 18. Paul is praying for certain things to take place with the believers there at Ephesus. And he said, here's what I desire for you. He said in verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints. That means you meet together with other saints. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It goes beyond our knowledge. If we could just simply know and understand in our minds, all any human being would have to do is read the Bible. But unless the Holy Spirit opens our heart, opens our ears, opens our eyes, and opens our minds to these words, making them living words, making them come alive in our heart, they're just dead letters on a page. We can intellectually know what they mean, what the dictionary definition of the words, but they don't change us. They don't transform us at all. We just simply adds to our knowledge. And so many people limit God to that. And that's why he doesn't move in their life. It's not because he's not able. It's because we have hindered him from doing that, by reducing him to something that we can comprehend and understand before we believe it. But as we know from 1 Corinthians, that's the weakness of Gentiles. Jews have to see a miracle before they believe something. Gentiles have to understand it in their little peanut brain before they believe it. It passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able, you see, we're trying to do it. We're trying to understand it. We're trying to comprehend it. We're trying to believe it. We want to control. We want to govern. It's not how it works, folks. We don't have the ability and the strength to do that. If we could save ourselves, he would never have had to send Jesus Christ to die on a cross. And if we could live for God and be a Christian, he would have never sent his Spirit into our hearts to enable us to do that. He is able. That means we're not. Except when he enables us to do so by his strength and by his wisdom. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power that works in us. That's the Holy Spirit. So when you get to that place, you can say, unto him be glory. All the credit goes to him. All the praise goes to him. All the glory goes to him. He's magnified. But when it's according to my mind, when it's according to what I think and comprehend and understand, what I can scheme and create a method to do so in the power of my flesh, I get the glory. I get the honor. I'm magnified. Look at what I figured out. Look at what I have understood through my diligent study. Look at what I'm able to do. I'm magnifying myself. There's a difference between a work of perfection in the flesh. That comes from a base of pride. Look at what I'm able to do better than you. And Germans are the worst because it's been programmed into the DNA. Only God can change and reprogram that. There's a difference between perfection and serving the Lord with all of our heart. See, he then gets the glory. He gets the honor for it. Unto him be glory. Where is this now? Unto him be glory in the church. Oh no, I think I'm going to have my own ministry. John Smith Ministerial Ministries Incorporated. And I'm going to go to church and I want everyone to see my ministry. And I want people to contribute to me, to my ministry. And I'll sell books and CDs and all this, and I get all the glory. I get all the honor. People will say, well, the Bible says this, and somebody say, oh, but John Smith says. Oh, let's go hear John Smith. I think he's at, or he's selling tickets at this Coliseum. That's a magnification of self. This says, unto him be glory in the church. Now, I'm from East Texas, so it takes me a while. But I think I've got this figured out. If you're saved and you're Christian, you need to be in a church family. Unto him be glory in the church. So all the abilities, all the skills, all the spiritual gifts he's given us as we exercise them, the church is edified, not us. The church gets edified. Preacher, why do you want me to sing all the time? Well, the church gets edified for it. Me too. Why do you want me to teach that class? Because the church gets edified by it. Because I can see the spiritual gifts operating and working in your life. And I can sort of nudge you over that direction. And when you get over there, you go, hey, maybe this is what the Lord wants me to do. Yeah, it took you long enough. It's the church. Is that not what happens in our human families? We encourage our children. We pray for our children. We correct our children. And we sort of nudge them and encourage them into a direction. We give them a bigger allowance when they go in that and when they go the other direction, we withhold the allowance. You know, there's ways. Unto him be, I got to finish reading. Oh my gosh. Unto him be glory. Well, you can't get out anyway. The motorcycles are going by. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So if you're going to magnify the Lord in your life, you have to hear a message from God. Number two, there's only three. Secondly, she magnified the Lord by not only hearing a message from God, she received a work from God. She received a work from God. Verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. That's John the Baptist's mother. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Remember, the same thing was said of Sarah. Same thing was said of Rachel. Same thing was said of Hannah. That manifests the power of God when we're at a point that it's physically impossible for us to do something. God said, that's when my work is seen the clearest. And Mary said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to my mind. That's not what it said. Isn't it? Be it unto me according to thy word, according to thy message. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. See, that's the response of faith. And is that not how salvation comes to us? Stay in Luke, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Boy, before God came to us, we were full of darkness, the darkness of sin. And everything was vain. It was empty. No purpose. No reason for our being. But it said the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. The Spirit of God began to take the words of God and He began to move on the face of our darkened hearts. And God said, "Let there be light." There was light. God began to shine the light of His truth through the darkness of our sin. And we all of a sudden began to see the ugliness and the deception of sin. We saw it not as our friend to bring us happiness, but just the opposite. Then we saw the unapproachable holiness of God through His justice and through His law and commandments. And we see it also as not our friend. The law does not bring salvation. The law does not bring us forgiveness and eternal life. The law is not our friend. Just the opposite. It condemns us. It proves our condemnation and our separation from God. It shows us how far removed we are from the perfection of God to what we are without Him. It proves our guilt and our inability to do anything about the impossible position we're in. We cannot produce forgiveness. We cannot produce righteousness. We cannot produce perfection. We cannot produce salvation on our own. A church can't do it through water or wafers or through giving you a position or a membership. It is an impossible situation. It's the same situation Mary is in. Okay, Mary, go ahead and have a baby. Hey, 90-year-old Sarah, go ahead and have a baby. You can even use Abraham on this one. No, they could no more do that on their own than we can save ourselves on our own. That's where we realize that God stepped in and did something about the impossibility of our position. She said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Just listen. Paul is going to explain the gospel. And he says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Mary says, "I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm going to be just like Isaiah. Here I am, Lord, send me. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to the Scriptures, according to your word, according to your message, according to the vision of your will for my life." Well, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do that. I don't know how somebody from East Texas is going to be able to preach and explain these words. But I'm going to sit back and watch in amazement as you do it, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to be able to teach a Sunday school class. I don't know how I'm going to be the wife or the husband I need to be. I don't know how I'm going to have the wisdom to raise children right during this day and time. But I know somebody who can. So, be it unto us according to your word, Lord. You said that you would work your power through us to accomplish your will. So we just trust that'll happen. and we make ourselves available. We don't understand how he can be raised the third day. You'll never get there intellectually. Well, I guess I'm just going to have to do it by faith. That's the only option. This is all by faith. Faith comes first, then the understanding. So when faith comes in contact with these words, then we receive his work that he does that we can. And then lastly, she submitted herself to the vision and dream of God. She submitted herself to the vision and to the dream of God, just like we're seeing with Joseph. Verse 38 again. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." That's faith. Verse 35 says, "That holy thing was born of her." The Holy Spirit put him into her. How was she found with child of the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit put the child into her. What is salvation? It's the Holy Spirit putting the life of Jesus Christ into our souls. Another word for put into is baptism. That's the Greek word. The English word means to put into. First Corinthians 3. I have to finish this today. I can't make it a part two or we'd be in the New Year's and it won't be Christmas no more. I can get by with it the day after, but not the week after. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. I have planted. Paul said, I planted something in somebody. Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. What did he plant? Word of God. People came in contact with the Word of God. They heard it. And then as they responded, just as Mary did, the Holy Spirit puts that into the soul. And then the church and the gifts of the church, the teachers, the pastors, they begin to water. And then what happens to a seed that's planted and watered? It produces growth. And then the growth produces fruit. Why would you plant something that you didn't get anything off of? Maybe if you go, oh, doesn't that look pretty? Yeah, okay, I'd rather go pick an apple off of it and eat it. Or a pecan and eat it. At least that tree is producing something for all the work that went into it. Salvation is the Holy Spirit birthing the eternal life of Jesus Christ into our soul. He joins us together as one. One more scripture and we'll be done. First Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Mary submits herself to this message of God's will for her life, what God is wanting to use her for. And in 1 Peter 1, verse 23, it says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God." How are we born again? By the word of God, which lives and abides forever. It's not lost with the originals. The word of God's not lost. God's not going to have the power to give his word and then lose it. God's not going to give his church and then lose it to where in the 1900s somebody's going to have to restore the original church because it's been lost all these centuries. It's hogwash. That's an East Texas theological term. Which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower thereof falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word. See, when somebody says, oh, we believe in the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of God, they're not talking about the one they're holding in their hands. They're talking about something that doesn't exist anymore. So their great doctrinal belief is just a bunch of hot air. No, we believe in the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of God. This one right here. That God has preserved through all the Catholic counterfeits that they're being translated out of now. We've got it. It's right here. It's lived and it's dwelled forever and it's still producing fruit when you submit yourself to it. Chapter 2, verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We begin to magnify the Lord. The more we see and understand that and see this vision of God that He has for each of our lives and for what He has collectively in our church family, it causes us to forget ourselves, and we find ourselves all of a sudden just thinking about Him, just thanking Him, praising Him, and all of a sudden we're caught up in worship. The soul and the spirit fills up, Brother Gary, and it overflows. It has to come out. We find ourselves rejoicing while the world moans and groans and complains about everything under the sun. I've learned, never ask a lost person how they are, because they might tell you. They groan about their hangovers and their nausea from the few minutes of happiness they think they had, but they can't even remember it. A dream from the vision, remember, is how the work of God in providence carries out the vision. See verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Verse 46, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in my circumstances. No, it's rejoiced in God, my Savior. God never changes. Our circumstances changes hourly. We have a continual source of joy from God. Now, why does she do that? Because from verse 48 all the way down to verse 55, it tells what God has done. He has regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He sent away empty. Sent empty away. He hath holpen His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. He spake to our... Do you see? It's Him. By the word, that word, H-O-L-P-E-N, holpen, that's more than just simply help. It means to take hold of and protect from falling. I was with somebody trying to get her out of the car, and I had to do more than just simply help. I had to keep her from falling. That's what that word means. And God is saying, listen, you're kept by my power, not by your own. When you think you're about to fall, hey, you lean back on my strength. I've got you. I'm holding on to you. You let me hold you up and keep you from falling. Oh, no wonder she magnifies the Lord. Here's what Mary did. Here's what God did. And because nothing is impossible with God, that means all things are possible for us in order to be saved and in order to do His will with all of our hearts. David said in our reading in Psalm 34, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced with God my Savior. Let me ask you, does your soul, does your spirit magnify the Lord in this way? If not, that can all change in a moment. If it's because the Lord Jesus has never been born into your heart and soul, the only thing preventing that from taking place is you. Is this what you want with all of your heart? His life in yours? Then you can have it right now for the asking. Open the closed door. Go through it to Him, and He'll come through it to you. If it's because you've clogged the outflow exit, unclog it. Prayer will do that. Return back to following your vision and dream from the Lord so that you, along with Mary and along with David, can magnify the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning that we do have your word. We have it perfect because you're perfect. We can place all of our faith, all of our trust, and all of our hope in it. And these words, Lord, still speak to us and minister to us today. I pray they've done that. So, Lord, would you take this word, Spirit of God, would you do that work of conviction, that work of repentance that would bring forth salvation in someone that's lost? And, Lord, for us, your people, would you work that word, that message, into our hearts so that we won't put it under a bushel, but we will allow your light to shine into all of the dark recesses of our life and into the darkness of sin that's in this community that's keeping people from seeing clearly your gospel. So, Lord, we pray that we would open up all of our hearts, our ears, Lord, to what you want us to do, to what you have saved us to do, to glorify, to honor you, and to magnify you with our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Every head bowed.